yeah, bruh!
Welcome to the TKD update presented to you by Moe and McGee.
Chicken or chicken?
Welcome into Moe and McGee on TKD. Really crazy week. Lots of really tight matchups. But first, I want to talk Wolves. 50.5 is the win.
The Timberwolves.
Is the win total for this year. Over or under 50.5. And don't dare say under.
I'm going over. And in fact, Kevin, you can go to many sports books right now and get it at 48.5.
Gross.
That's disgusting. I think if healthy, if they stay healthy, meaning all their starters play roughly 70-ish games, I think this team not only wins 50 games, I think they threaten 60. Not a lot of people are going to want to hear this or care about it. I know Garrett will. Garrett's a Wolves back fan.
Spotify has this nice feature where you just click this plus 30-second button. Just hit that 3 times and whatever.
Yeah. But Rudy Gobert, every year on the Jazz, they had been a top 5 defense. And get this, Kevin, last year, Utah Jazz, #1 offense in the NBA. You know, Rudy Gobert is not scoring a lot of those points, but Rudy Gobert creates what I like to call space. He creates space, backs people out of the lane, catches lobs. He creates rim gravity. And he's going to allow Karl Anthony Towns to be a driver. He's going to allow D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards to get pick and rolls for days, throwing lobs to Rudy. And this is probably the deepest Timberwolves team we've seen in a while. You look at the guys 14, 15th on their bench. You know, you're talking about guys like Naz Reid and Austin Rivers, who've played big-time NBA minutes.
God, Austin Rivers for nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Bryn Forbes won a championship with the Bucks a couple years ago. He's going to be like guy 13. It all, you know, the most dangerous part about this whole thing is we're kind of banking on Anthony Edwards becoming a top 10 player in the league. And I don't know, you know, does he ascend to that? I don't think so. But right now he's like the 25th best player in the league. Can he become the 15th where he's just playing more defense? Maybe his offense doesn't grow at all, but he plays better defense. I need to calm myself down because it's feeling like Minnesota heartbreak right now because I'm way up.
I'm worried about that as well, but I really think that they could even, God forbid anybody gets hurt, but I think it would take 2 guys to go down to really throw a massive wrench into things because you have the one offensive strategy, which is Towns and Ant, just let them go apeshit. You have the other offensive strategy of Gobert is an elite screener, and D'Angelo Russell is one of the best pick and roll guards in the game. You really have to break up both of those pairs in order for them to be really bad offensively. And with Gobert, I mean, when the Jazz don't have Gobert, they were, you know, a bottom third NBA defensive team. And when they had Gobert, one of the best. Finch introduced that really aggressive, go for a lot of steals defense, and they're just going to be able to double down on that with a guy like Gobert guarding the rim over Karl Anthony Towns. So excited for this year. It's going to be amazing. And everybody who's down on the Wolves is like, what's the spacing going to be like with Rudy Gobert? Did they not watch the playoffs?
They didn't watch the Wolves last year, Kevin.
Where Jared Vanderbilt was like just they're like skipping around on the side on the baseline being totally undefended. Rudy Gobert has led the NBA in field goal percentage 3 seasons in his career. Where Vanderbilt would have gotten a dump off and, you know, just bricked it off the backboard or hit the
brick it off his own hands. Yeah.
Gobert can tip it in. Gobert can get you 80% of those to go in instead of Vanderbilt hoping for 50-50. Upgrade. Gobert's an upgrade on both sides of the court. And I hate losing Pat Bev, but this has all the makings of a very special team.
Yeah. Last thing I want to say, remember the name Jaden McDaniels right now. He's going to be everyone's, you know, where did Jaden McDaniels come from? You know, tell him Mo told you to write down the name Jaden McDaniels. He's going to be a superstar this year.
3-and-D player in the league next year.
It's the next Kawhi Leonard. all right. Anyway, after drinking Wolves Kool-Aid, let's dive into the matchups, Kevin. I really did think I was trending towards my first weekly winner. However, Carter, too good, 139. I don't know how many weekly winners that is for him, but I know it's probably at least two or three.
Yeah, he's racking them up. And even with his running backs looking, you know, kind of middling at times, when you can get 30 points from Diggs, 30 points from Tyreek, it doesn't matter. You're going to outscore most of the teams in the league when you get 60 points from two players.
Yeah, you know, I really did not like the Diggs-Tyreek back-to-back. He did that on the 12-13 turn this year. He was 11th, so he did it on the 11th, 14th. But I was just not big on Tyreek. It's very clear that he is just, you know, I thought it was a thing of like the Chiefs system. He's just too fucking fast for anyone to guard. The Vikings tried their damn hardest to guard him. He would just sprint. He sprints straight, and then he stops on a dime, whips back, gets thrown the ball, wiggles around for a little bit. He does that six times a game, 30 points, easy. He's just impossible to guard. And Stephon Diggs, you know, number one wide receiver in fantasy right now. Can't knock it.
You have to put $50 down, Carter or the field, for TKD champion.
I'm going to take the field. I'm going to take the field because the running backs. He's starting three right now, and none of them I'm super confident in rest of season. So I'm going to say that as great as the two wide receivers are, the rest of his team, if those two wide running backs are not firing on all cylinders, is a little barren.
It just takes 1 week in the playoffs where, you know, Diggs has an okay game and Tyreek has a bad game or vice versa, and all of a sudden you're no better than a team that even missed the playoffs.
There you go. Let's head over to Luke. Luke picked up Geno Smith, his big fab addition, projected for 19 points, only got him 12. J.K. Dobbins injured again, potentially. A.J. Dillon, Antonio Gibson, not looking great. Not sure why he didn't throw Kenneth Walker in. It was kind of a head scratcher to me. 109 points was enough to beat almost every other team in the league. So he can't be too down on himself. But are you worried about Luke at all? I know you love Luke's team. Is it time to worry about the running backs?
My worry with the running backs is that he's going to be playing musical chairs trying to find which two to plug in a given week. Dalvin has had his down spots. J.K. Dobbins has had his upside or his big weeks, but then, you know, 1.5 week. A.J. Dillon, big start to the season, but pretty garbage since. Gibson is could be really good, could be really bad. Kenneth Walker, you have to expect him to go Dalvin and Kenneth Walker most weeks, but is that going to backfire on him? Just with the streakiness of those guys, that'd be the concern. Otherwise, no holes. Quarterback, I guess, but yeah.
3-3, Kevin. Let's head to another 3-3 team. Everyone was laughing, pointing at Logan, saying, oh, Logan's going to miss the playoffs. He's terrible. His team sucks. Rip off three straight wins, Kevin. I'm 3-3, 122 this week. And I'm going to put myself up there for waiver play of the season. Deion Jackson was the RB1 of the week. Scooped him up Sunday morning, plugged him in, 28 points. I don't win without him.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. When you scooped up and plugged in Deion Jackson, were you concerned about Philip Lindsay at all?
A little, but my other option was starting Khalil Herbert or Mike Boone, so I wasn't too concerned.
Fair enough. I think it's safe to say you didn't expect 28, but you were pretty pleased with that. Then solid weeks across the board. Mixon, Godwin, Cooper Kupp, Kittle, all 15, 16 points. That'll do it. You don't need a lot of points from the quarterback position, or could even afford to take a little bit of a hit on the flex when everybody else does enough to get you through and you hit big on one guy.
Yeah, I mean, shout out CeeDee Lamb on my effing bench, Adam Thielen on my bench, both scoring over 12.7 themselves. You know, like I said, Kevin, I just, Joe Mixon, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, CeeDee Lamb, if they can all be firing, I think I'm going to be a scary team. I just need to figure out quarterback. You know, RB2 is going to be an absolute disaster for me. It really is. Whenever Joe Mixon has his bye week, I'm going to be starting the most garbage pair of running backs you've ever seen in your entire life. But
I hope
Joe Mixon only has one bye week. So as long as it's not in the fantasy playoffs, I think I'm good. You know, it's time to start looking out for the grinders, Kevin. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, Joe Mixon, he's never been hurt in his entire career.
That's why I'll spend the remaining fab dollars on Samaji Perine.
How do you play CeeDee Lamb or Curtis Samuel over CeeDee Lamb? Was that a showcase to try to get a trade?
No. So my original thought process Thursday night was Cooper Kupp, CeeDee Lamb, Chris Godwin all had questionable tags on them. And so I was like, you know what? Let's just burn Curtis Samuel right now. He should be fine. Obviously wasn't. Him and Chris Godwin were kind of ranked similarly. And then on Sunday morning, I kind of talked myself into CeeDee Lamb is going to get his ass absolutely shut down by Darius Slay. Let's play Chris Godwin against Pittsburgh, who had every secondary player out. Didn't turn out to be the huge boom that, you know, it wasn't a huge difference. It wasn't the winning difference. Chris Godwin did end up scoring more than CeeDee Lamb, though. So, but this is where, like, no one will trade with me, but I have to make a trade because I can just see myself the rest of the season staring at Chris Godwin, Curtis Samuel, Adam Thielen, just saying, what the fuck do I do with these guys? Like, you know, I think it's probably locked in Godwin, Kupp, CeeDee Lamb, which is really good. But also, I feel like I'm going to. What?
Can't move Samuel or Thielen for shit.
I know. I can't move them. And they're going to be sitting on my bench getting 15 to 20 points some weeks. So.
I'm going to have to move Godwin or CeeDee. Last thing, you should have 50 points deducted from your score for breaking for committing the Cardinals sin of playing a Thursday night player in your flex. Greg's team.
Totally missed the boat on James Robinson, Marquise Brown injured. Not quite sure the Taysom Hill play. And originally, Kevin, going into Sunday, he had Taysom Hill in the flex and Njoku. And so he was originally going to play two. Smartly, he pivoted and threw Juju in, which I also thought was kind of a weird play. And then, you know, he has Fournette, Derrick Henry, really good. T. Higgins, good. The rest of his team is just kind of tough right now. He doesn't really have the wiggle room to trade out of one of those three guys because he'd just leave himself super weak. He almost has to do kind of what Garrett did and flip one for two, kind of a one for two situation and hope he can plug two holes okay instead of just having a seeping hole, you know, at one spot.
Yeah, I never like – obviously, you should try the two-for-one trade. I don't like chasing points on the waiver wire, but I think if you're in Greg's position, I would abandon the handcuff strategy, cut loose Chase Edmonds, Isaiah Pacheco, Christian Watson. Yes, all those guys have this dream upside if they hit. But he's going to need a flex. He's going to need fill-ins for buys. And I think you have to chase points on the waiver wire and hope that you find a guy that can be a consistent 12.
You know, Kevin, I'm going to tell it on the podcast. I was hovering over the button offering this trade to Kevin or to Greg. I didn't offer it. I want you to jump into the mind of Greg. Do you do this trade if I offer it to you? CeeDee Lamb, George Kittle, Khalil Herbert for Leonard Fournette and David Njoku.
I love Leonard Fournette, but I think you have to do that trade. If I'm Greg, I take that. Yep.
All right. Maybe I do it. It actually doesn't sound good to me that you're saying for Greg to do it. Then it sounds like it's bad for me. So.
Yeah, with Dak back, does CD become wide receiver one we thought that he could be? I think for Greg, you roll the dice at running back. Take that up.
All then right.
He would be starting the worst running back.
He'd be in my position.
Yeah. But you got 1-5, and you got the one this week.
That's true. Let's head over to Woods and Kramer. This was just an absolute brutal bad beat for Kramer. Lost by 0.3 points, 0.32 points. And, you know, this came down to the Sunday night game, Jalen Hurts and Dallas Goedert, he needed them to score more. They both have like their worst games of the season. And then Jaguars minus 4 points as your defense. That's going to do Kramer in.
Yeah, that hurts a lot. It could have been worse. He could have been leading until Jalen Hurts took those two knees and then taken minus 2 points and gotten the loss. So for his sanity, I'm happy that didn't happen. But anytime you could have just not played a defense and gotten the win, that really, really stings.
Yeah, absolutely. Breece Hall looks like an absolute superstar. Jamar Chase kind of rounding into form. 4-2, Kramer. Two straight losses, though. Is Breece Hall, Jonathan Taylor, Jamar Chase, Jalen Hurts, is he your kind of second best bet to Carter still?
Yeah, I think so. He's gotten really burnt with buys and injuries lately that are all kind of short-term problems. And I think long-term, he has all the pieces to have a really solid starting lineup, but then also, you know, a couple extras that he can parlay into a trade if something goes wrong. So I
think he's yeah, we know Kramer's not trading, though.
He would if he had to. He's stubborn.
I think he should immediately trade either Devin Singletary or Josh Jacobs and package Christian Kirk or DJ Moore, you know, blow up one of your wide receiver spots. I think that's what he should do, but.
Oh, he won't do that. He won't do it until he has to, but yes, I agree.
Let's go over to the actual winner of this matchup, Woods. Got nothing from the two Seahawks receivers, but just enough from Mark Andrews, Saquon Barkley, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, this is the nightmare scenario that Woods is hoping to avoid on a given week where Seattle just doesn't do anything on offense, and he takes that hit in two different spots in the starting lineup. But he gets the win, and you have to feel really good about that. Andrews is Andrews, and Andrews should be picked higher next year.
How early do you think
the same mistake again? Absolutely. He will be undrafted.
How early do you think Mark Andrews goes next year?
I think Mark Andrews will go in the fourth.
Wow. It's too late.
J.K. Dobbins will be healthy walking into the season, and there will be this huge idea that the Ravens are just going to ground and pound. But I mean, they're an NFL team. They're still going to throw the ball at minimum 25 times in the game. And, you know, 10 of those are going to be Andrews' way.
Yeah, and every pass in the red zone, Andrews' way. Najee Harris gets in the end zone, but only ends up with 12 points. Is it time to start being really concerned about Najee Harris ever eclipsing 15 points?
Yes, because apparently they're not going to check it down to him. I think you have to get rid of him. You're not going to find anybody that has that kind of volume, but you could find somebody with more receiving upside. Scary thing with Najee Harris is he could have a solid 12 runs for 60 yards, but if he doesn't get in the end zone or score a touchdown, that's a really bad week for a fantasy running back.
All right. We actually skipped Truck Nuts. I forgot he was the third highest scorer, Bradley. Bradley just had an all-around great game. Michael Pittman, 26 points. Robert Tonyan, 19. And then the big trade brought in Gabe Davis, 16 points. Once again, only three catches, but one of them a touchdown. Gabe Davis is going to have down weeks. And I suppose that's why you have Amon-Ra St. Brown on your bench and Davante Adams on your bench.
Yep. Gabe Davis is going to be a fill-in guy, shooting for the sky, hoping for a touchdown. But when it's just a fill-in guy, you can afford that. Pittman's 26 points really carried him here. And really highest praise to Brad for the Robert Tonyan pickup. Great pickup.
Yeah, there you go. Nice job, Brad. That got Brad off a pretty big skid there. I think he had lost something like three or four in a row. He gets back up to 2-4. Murphy actually has the longest, outside of Garrett, of course, has one of the longer losing streaks. He's down to 3-3 after starting 3-0. Or I think he's lost two in a row, maybe. But Josh Allen and Austin Eckler just were not enough to carry the rest of the team that did not eclipse 10 points, any of them. Mike Evans, Cortland Sutton, Deontay Johnson, Dalton Schultz, Kareem Hunt all had terrible games.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys that you named are going to have better games, or Kareem Hunt will be subbed out for Damian Pierce, who has been very solid this season. Dusty has to feel good about his team, but very frustrated at the tight end position. I know that he's been swapping Schultz and Conklin and every other tight end you can think of into that lineup and not seeing a great return. You know he's probably going to try to make a move to right that ship. Will it be enough? We'll see.
There you go. Let's head to McBurger Town. Dan, Huber came way back down to earth here. He had started 4-1. We both called him the most fraudulent team in the league. This is why, Kevin. 69 points. Wide receivers were okay, but the running backs, terrible. Justin Herbert has a bad game. Only 69 points. Dan, one of the lower, you know, point totals of the week. One, you know, wouldn't have beaten a lot of other teams, but gets to play Huber. And has Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson, we knew he was going to be great with the Damien Harris injury, and he did that disappointment here. Didn't really need a lot otherwise. Justin Jefferson chips in 16, which is Justin Jefferson floor. But the other team only scores 69 points.
Nice. Kevin, you got really quiet all of a sudden.
Oh, because I'm looking at the wrong screen.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he can afford to take a virtual zero at the flex with Jeff Wilson because he's facing Huber.
Yeah, still don't love him starting three running backs, but he's pretty insistent about it, and I think he's going to do it again this week.
Does he really have another choice?
Yeah, I don't know. His team is kind of brutal outside of the starters. You're right, Kevin. Yeah, I don't know.
And then on Huber's side, with Melvin Gordon, you know, who can apparently fumble every nine carries, but then has a no fumble game, and the Broncos then just decide that it's Latavius Murray time. He's going to be stuck playing Aaron Jones and DeAndre Swift, who between injuries and just inconsistent play is not a good feeling. And when you're playing Jerry Jeudy in the flex, Amari Cooper at wide receiver two, it's just, where's the upside to save your running back position? It's just not there.
Yeah, no, I mean, props to him on running up four wins. I feel like, you know, we saw how bad of a trade he offered to Carter. Pretty bad one. He's going to have to lower some expectations and maybe trade one of those three receivers. Package.
So many teams are looking for somebody like Higbee or Ertz.
Yeah, package.
Get Christian
package. Yeah, package Jeudy and Tyler Higbee and, you know, get yourself a really solid wide receiver. You know, yes, you're right. You are not trading Zach Ertz for Christian McCaffrey. So get that out of your head. Lower the expectations. Can you trade Tyler Higbee and Jerry Jeudy for, I don't know, Adam Thielen? Sure. Yeah, you could. If you wanted to.
There you go.
Just throwing somebody out. All right. Let's head.
4-2, does Huber make the playoffs?
No.
Oh, sorry, Huber.
Look, if you go to the standings tab, this is the point of the season through 6 weeks here that you can actually look at points for, points against, and you can start to kind of see fraudulent teams. Teams that are a bit over their skis. Huber is 7th in points, 631. He has the lowest points against at 562 by 30 points, Kevin. He's not getting any points scored against him. And he's not really scoring that many points himself. So that just kind of signals fraudulence to me where you're a little bit over the skis in the win column.
I'm also a fraudulent team at 3-3, and he's only scored one more point than me.
There you go. You know, I wouldn't call yourself fraudulent because you faced 40 more points than him, Kevin.
Yeah, I guess.
That's, you know, almost 10 points a given matchup, which is not nothing to sneeze at there. Your team does suck, but ekes out the most greasy win maybe in league history this week.
I don't know if I would call it in league history, but yes.
That is just grease fest. You know, Grabaugh needs Mike Williams to score 4 points. Yeah. 4.1 points, and he wins. Ends up with 3.7. Gerald Everett stumbles himself into 7.9, and good night, Gary. I thought this was a good week for Garrett. Alvin Kamara, Brian Robinson in the end zone. Kirk Cousins has a pretty decent game. It's just so brutal at, you know, wide receiver and tight end right now that, you know, even with the trade for Kamara and Mike Williams, it's hard for me to envision this team winning many games.
Yeah, he needs Hopkins to come back and be a top five wide receiver.
He needs Cam Akers to get traded to the Bills and be the Bills starting running back.
Good luck.
But yeah, I really want him to win. Like, this might be our first 0-for team in league history.
It might be. It is looking a little bit up when he can get Connor back, when he can get Hopkins back. Don't like that they're on the same team. Hopefully figure out the quarterback issue with Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins, some platoon. I think he'll get a win against a team that's faced a very bye heavy week, but he'll get one or two. But he's for sure finishing last.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Greg's in a little bit of a worry zone, though. Let's just keep that on the tickler file that Greg's only one game in front of him right now. So if you're saying one or two wins for Garrett, you know, we're talking about Greg's team is good. He got kind of snake bitten there. He scored like 140 against a 160 and stuff like that. But
Garrett's never going to catch him in points, so he has to get him on wins, which is going to be tough, but possible if Greg's team falls apart.
Let's go over to your team, Kevin, where you have Christian McCaffrey, who seems to be back and rolling, but starting these three receivers had to make you puke going into this week. You started Romeo Doubs, Alec Pierce, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. They're probably all like less than 60% rostered on ESPN, and you had to start them. Just enough for the win. Alec Pierce has that late dagger touchdown that kind of wins you the matchup. And Darrell Henderson, it's a great fortune of Cam Akers being gone, everything you wished for.
Yeah, it's going to be fun trying to choose between Darrell Henderson and Travis Etienne on a given week just because the Rams' offensive line is so garbage. But it was better when I had to choose between them when they both sucked. So I'll take that.
All right, Kevin. So your probably ideal lineup is Lamar, McCaffrey, Darrell Henderson / Etienne, Keenan Allen, Rashad Bateman, then Doubs, Pierce,
Keenan James Allen, Cook. Brandon Cooks and Rashad Bateman.
Oh, yeah, yep. Sorry.
A solid starting three at receiver.
How good do you feel about that team? Do you feel like it's enough to push you into the playoffs?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to get three wins, and I think that's a good enough team to get a fifth or sixth seed, make it to the playoffs where anything can happen. Do I think this team on a season-long basis contends with the Kramers or Carters? No. But we saw Dan win the title and actually face Woods, the 5-6 seeds in the championship last year. I think if I can limp in, anything can happen there. Been rough with the injuries, but there's better days ahead.
No trades on the horizon for Kevin?
I want to split up the Keenan Allen and Jared Everett pair. I can't find anybody that'll bite.
Yep, that's been the theme this year. No one bites on the TKD co-hosts. No one wants to trade with them. Actually, people do want to trade with me. They just want all my best players.
Funny how that works.
All right, you had a matchup of the week, Kevin. Where are you going?
Matchup of the week is going to be Derek against you. You're on the three-game win streak. Derek's trying to stop the slide a little bit here, where he'll slip from probably fifth all the way down to like 10th if the right people win this week. So crucial pivotal point for both people.
Yeah, he's probably going to be starting Aaron Jones and DeAndre Swift at running back. In my running back position, I'm going to be starting probably like a bag of shit at backup running at RB2. No idea what I'm going to do right at the moment. I have Nyheim Hines in there, but I already told you to drop him in episode one. So he's probably not going to be in there. Rams on bye, so I don't get the Cooper Kupp guaranteed 20 points. And Adam Thielen's on bye. So going to be running out of lineup with CeeDee Lamb, Chris Godwin, Curtis Samuel, George Kittle, Joe Mixon, Tua. I think it's enough to get me the victory here. I feel like it's going to come down to the flex plays. Does Jerry Jeudy have a big game or Curtis Samuel? The rest of it kind of seems evenish enough where, can Curtis Samuel jump back into that tier that he was in, scoring 13 points a week? If he does that, I think I get the victory. If not, and Jalen Waddle goes for 40 points on Sunday Night Football, 3-4, go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, pivotal moment for both teams. It'll come down, is Swift going to be healthy in play? And if he is, I like Derek, mainly because you're faced with those byes. It could really come down to the tight end position. Which of those guys scores a touchdown between Ertz and Kittle?
Yeah, I'm going to start Tua, so, you know, he could also get concussed first play and be season ended. So that could happen. The idea behind starting Tua, though, is if he does throw a touchdown to Jalen Waddle, it doesn't hurt me too bad. It doesn't completely burn me.
True.
So that's where I went with that. CeeDee Lamb against Detroit.
Curtis Samuel against Ja. Is Ja solely going to be locked up against Terry McLaurin?
He's going to be on Terry, scary Terry. It's going to be a Curtis Samuel game. Big one. Huge one.
Spoken like a guy who's trying to make a trade.
Yeah, if anyone wants Samuel, Thielen, I'd even entertain a Godwin trade. Hell, you know what? I'm willing to back off CeeDee Lamb a little bit, but you gotta get something. You know, people want CeeDee Lamb really bad. That's, I think I said this last week. So do I. So I'm willing to trade him, but it's got to be a big return. Has to be. Just has to be a big return.
Would you trade?
I told Dan last week I'd trade Cooper Kupp for Justin Jefferson and a running back.
Would you trade Cooper Kupp for a tier 3 wide receiver and, you know, a locked and loaded RB, high-end RB1 or RB2?
No. I would need either a wide receiver one back plus a running back.
Yeah, with by wide receiver 3 tier, I mean like middle to low wide receiver one.
Oh.
So not Tyreek, Devontae, you know, that next tier down.
Maybe. You know, if I wasn't playing Huber, looking at his team, DeAndre Swift and Jalen Waddle.
Would you do that for Cooper Kupp if you weren't playing him?
Maybe. I think about it.
Why wouldn't you do that when you're trading him or when you're playing him?
He's on the bye week.
You should absolutely do that.
Yeah, I should, actually. DeAndre Swift worries me.
All right.
That's enough Mo.
Look at the budget to date. Ryan Woods, $200. Hasn't spent a dime. Saving it all for defenses late in the season. Next up, Huber has $185 sitting in the bank. You know, maybe these guys are waiting on that Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine injury. $150 for Carter. $127 for Luke, Dustin at $130, missed him. So a couple of
$122
guys
for Greg.
A couple of those guys with all their money. A bunch of teams at $100 to $120, and then at the bottom we have Garrett, me, you, and Kramer with $90 or less, or $92 or less.
I've been super impressed with Kramer and Garrett. I think spending money where they're supposed to, you know, picking up players that they don't really, you know, even have much intention to start, but like getting good, better bench pieces. And, you know, you go take a look at Wood's team, good starters, right? But he has like Richie James and actually Woods' team is deep as fuck. That's not a good example. Carter's team. Carter's team, he's only spent $150 and shit, he's super deep too.
How about Derek?
Huber's team sucks. Yeah, let's look at Huber. Huber has $185 and has Mecole Hardman, Jared Goff, and Russell Gage on his bench. Yeah, he could upgrade all three of those guys easy with a few dollars of fab, leaving himself super vulnerable for bye weeks. You know, obviously he's been active offering trades, but you got to spend your money on Tuesday nights.
You only have $55. I'm in an even tighter spot with only 20. Are you concerned about only having $55 just the rest of the season?
The only thing I'm pissed about myself is I spent $59 on Mike Boone. And I still have not adjusted to the fact that no one goes over $40 in any thing. Next year I will adjust that. Every time I want a player really bad, I'm like, oh God, I got to spend, you know, over 50 to get this person. And then I'm thinking, okay, they're going to spend slightly over 50. So maybe they'll go 55, 56. So let me just go 59. They're not going to go 60 because that's a lot. So if it's at 59, I'll at least tie them and then I'll go down to priority. But I think I overspent by $20 on Mike Boone, maybe. I think I overspent on Curtis Samuel by, you know, $10-$15. I didn't really look at the offer report on Deion Jackson, but probably didn't need to spend $11 on him. Worth it though, completely worth it. Deion Jackson completely won me a week, so that's what it's there for. I'm gonna hold probably the rest in case of, you know, that Joe Mixon injury. I just want everyone to know out there, I'm going to spend $55 on fab on Samaje Perine if Joe Mixon goes down.
That's the reason I'm not concerned about only having $20 left, is if Joe Mixon goes down out for the season, Samaje Perine is going to, if anybody has any sense, he's going to go for 150 plus. One of these teams with almost all their budget should go out and spend it all to get him. I was never going to, unless I just punted the first 3 weeks of the season, I was never going to get him anyway. So why not get more players along the way, spend it early, have these players for longer periods of time? I don't know. Rant over.
I mean, what do you, there's, you can't really do anything with $20. What are you going to do the rest of the season? Just like bid $2-$3 on a, you know, defense or something?
I mean, what's going to pop up at this point? You're going to be able to win without spending 55.
Yeah, I don't.
It's just going to be deep stashes, quarterbacks and defenses. It's bye weeks, so people are more active. But, you know, good chance that you can sneak in with smaller dollar value.
Well, and you look at, you know, 12-team league, six-man benches. Who's going to be the big pickup this week? Like, running back's brutal, but, like, Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney? People want to spend their money on that? Instead of, you could have gotten Curtis Samuel, who, yes, bad week last week, but generally been a playable player. Yeah.
But because he's the highest flex player, he's still going to go for 35. But you would much rather have Curtis Samuel, well, through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, there you go. All right. That's enough pontificating out of us, I think. You know, once again, fun league, a lot of parity. You know, it seems like everyone outside of your Greg and Carter is really in the playoff hunt. You know, Truck is now interesting with those three wide receivers. So I think what's interesting here is from nine and up, it's all over 40% playoff chance. So everyone has, you know, pretty good playoff chances to sneak in. It's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be interesting. See how it shakes out.
Yeah, there you go. All right, see you, folks. Yeah. I feel like I have to end it in a skull.